This is Betty Turnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. Our guests today are Mr. and Mrs. Hall, and since we're good friends, I'm going to call them by their first names, George and Dorothy Hall. Very nice to have you doing our program for us today. George and Dorothy, did both of you grow up in Decatur?
No, I did. I was born and raised in Decatur.
Okay.
George wasn't.
Well, we'll find out about him later. But Dorothy, since you were born here, we'll start with you. Can you tell us something about your early childhood here in this town?
Well, yes, the town wasn't nearly as large as it is today, that's for sure. And we lived in town, but yet you would think we'd live in the country because we had mud streets. Grand Avenue was a mud street, and I was born on Gulick Avenue. That was a mud street, and we had no streetcars out there of any type.
When you say mud, of course,
It was mud.
It was mud in rainy weather. I'm sure it was dusty in dry weather, too.
Yes, but in rainy weather it was mud.
It was very muddy.
Yes. And I've gone to school here in Decatur all my life.
What school did you go to?
I went to Pugh School.
That was the grade school?
Grade school.
And where was that?
That was on the corner of Grand and Monroe.
Uh-huh.
It's since been torn down.
Uh-huh.
And I was transferred when I was in about the third grade to the old Marietta School. And that was on the corner of the church and Marietta. And that I was in about the third grade there, and when I was in about the fifth or sixth grade, they decided to build a new school there, and the old one would be torn down, so they transferred us to Gassman School, and that's on the corner of Church and North.
That's not standing now either, is it?
No, it has been torn down.
George?
The Gassman School has been torn down.
Yes, they've all been torn down, in other words. All these schools you've been talking about.
Oh, but Lincoln School, and it's condemned for a school, and our church has bought it.
Oh.
Grace Methodist Church. And I had the privilege of going through that Sunday.
Well, that must have recalled some memories.
It did.
What was school like in those days?
Well, far different than from today, that's for sure. We didn't have all the extras. We had no radios, no televisions. We had recess. That's the part I liked.
But you mainly had just studies and play on the playground.
Yes. Lincoln School had an auditorium and a gymnasium. And on bad days, we got to go downstairs to the gymnasium. Occasionally there'd be someone in to entertain us at the, and we'd go down to the auditorium.
For an assembly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we only had 8 schoolrooms then, and that school, where so many children came into that neighborhood, they used the basement, and...
They had to put in more classes.
More classrooms, mm-hmm. And the auditorium I saw was used as a library.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were there, there were no libraries
mm-hmm.
in our school.
Then you went to high school?
Yes, but when they tore Marietta School down, I was transferred to Gassman. I had to go there a year. Then I came back to Lincoln, it was Lincoln then, for the 7th grade.
Did you walk to all these schools?
We had no bus.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no car either.
So all the children who, everybody walked to school.
All children walked.
No matter how far away you lived.
No. So then I finished the 7th grade. Then I went into the 8th grade. We had no junior highs here.
Excuse me. Did you go home at noon?
Yes.
And so you had to walk 4 times a day to go to school and back.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring your lunch? Oh, no, you went home for lunch.
I went home for lunch, And then I went to for the 8th grade, I went to the old high school. Not the one that they've condemned now, but the older one where my father went to high
school. Where was that?
It was on East North, about 3 blocks north of where Decatur High School was. I took the 8th grade there. Then I came back to the high school for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And that was the high school that is where the Civic Center is now.
It's been torn down.
Uh-huh. Well, let's go on.
Then I went to Brown's Business College.
Oh, here in Decatur.
Here in Decatur. And it was on North Street. William Street.
Uh-huh.
Upstairs.
Uh-huh.
And I finished there. And I was sent, my first job was sent to the courthouse.
Uh-huh.
And I worked in the abstract
room,
typed
uh-huh.
and
yes.
such as that.
So your business training served you well.
I guess it did.
Well, let's talk about George. Where did you live, George? Where were you born?
I was born in Kentucky.
Oh.
Richmond, Kentucky.
Uh-huh. And what was your childhood like there?
Well, I don't remember too much about it. My folks tell me that I was 8 years old when we left Kentucky and came to Illinois. But I don't, and I remember the train trip from Kentucky to Gillespie, Illinois. That's where
mm-hmm.
we landed, Gillespie, Illinois. And we lived there a couple of years and moved from there to Danvers, Illinois, and from there to Hopedale, and from Hopedale to Stanford, and we've lived lots of places. Lots of
what was your father's business?
He worked for the other fellow on the farm.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Farmhand. So,
and
that's why he moved around.
That's right. Uh-huh. About every March, while we'd move to a new place,
mm-hmm.
the grass seemed to be greener on the other side of the fence.
Uh-huh. At least the corn was greener.
That's right. And let's see.
Well,
the next question, when did you come to Decatur?
Yes.
Well,
right.
I can answer that. I came to Decatur twice. The first time was in about 1916. My father and family came to Decatur to work for a farmer south of Decatur
oh.
at a dairy farm.
Did you live in town?
No.
Oh, you were out
in
the country.
In the country. About four or five miles south of Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we lived there a couple of years, and then we moved to Argentia. And there we stayed a while.
Mm-hmm.
We lived there 5 years, the longest we didn't stay any place
mm-hmm.
in my childhood days. So we were around Argentia 5 years. I went to country school 1 year and 4 years high school.
What was country school like then?
Well, about like what my wife tells us. Well, no. She was in town, wasn't she? Her country school was, well, it was...
All the children in one room?
Yeah, one room school. And they taught... Tell all the grades.
How could a teacher handle all that?
Well, it wasn't so many. There weren't so many in country school.
It was more like tutoring.
Yeah, that's right. There weren't near as many as they are in Decatur, Decatur school, city schools. I went to Progress School 1 year. That's east of Argentia. And high school 4 years.
Where did you go to high school?
Argentia.
Uh-huh.
I graduated from Argentia High School in 1924.
All right. And then you came to Decatur after that?
I came to Decatur in the summer of 24, graduated in June of 24, and my folks had moved back to Decatur, south of Decatur again, for the second time. So I came home from Argentia to my folks south of Decatur. And
you stayed there to finish school, I presume.
Yes, right, uh-huh. right. And I got a job in a grocery store just about a week after I graduated from high school. I went to Ferry's Manufacturing Company in September of 24, and I worked there until April of 25, and I went to the post office. And I stayed there for a long time.
So that was your real occupation,
that's right.
wasn't it?
That's right.
Being in the post
yeah.
office. You were telling me a bit about, you lived in the country too once, didn't you, Dorothy?
Yes, I did. And I was about 3 years old, I think, when we moved out there in the country. And we had lots of fun. We had a wagon, we could coast down the hills. And we were afraid of gypsies. In those days, gypsies came by. And when we'd go down the lane and sit on the fence, if we'd see these horses coming, well, we would run as fast as we could back to the house because we were told that they'd carry us off.
Maybe you could explain what gypsies are. I imagine that there are people today who don't know about that.
Well, they're people that travel through the country and beg or steal whatever they can get. And I think they dress in funny clothes, long, loose, light, bright colored clothes. And they used to drive covered wagons. Well, in later years, they had automobiles that they went through the country. But none of us was ever taken away.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the country school there just for a while, and we had one room school. And I walked about 2 miles to that school.
In all kinds of weather?
Any kind of weather, and all kinds of weather. Mm-hmm. I was more or less of a visitor because I had a brother 2 years older than I, and he was old enough to go to school, and I wasn't. I was 5 years old.
That's a family.
But they let me go just more or less as a visitor.
Mm-hmm. And that was before you moved into town?
Then. That's before we moved back to town.
Uh-huh.
Then I went to Pew School. It was my first city school.
Well, I think we're about ready now to find out how you two got together. How did you happen to know each other?
Well, we met at a post office party. Every year they had a post office party for the entire force. And I was introduced to George by one of his girl classmates.
Oh.
She had married a post office man. And I met him. That part.
Yeah. Now, I believe your family had a connection with the post office too, isn't that right?
That's right. My father went into the post office in 1906.
So you knew quite a few people there at the post office.
Most of them. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of them in those days, we knew everyone that was in there because there weren't too many people at that time.
George, what was your first job with the post office?
Well, my first job was, what would you say, working mail, working letter, you know.
Sorting letters
to the carriers, mm-hmm. to the different carriers. See, we clerks in the city division had to know the city scheme, and we had to know which carrier carried every block. In other words, we filed a letter for 500 West North, we knew that went to carrier 21, mm-hmm. and we'd give that to his pigeonhole.
Mm-hmm.
That was
And this was all done by hand, of
course.
Yeah,
all by hand, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we had what we called the facing table. The mail was brought in there and dumped on the facing table. We had to set it up.
The what table?
Facing table.
Facing
table. We had to face the mail.
I had to get
the stamps all one way so they could run through the canceling machine.
Uh-huh.
See, we canceled all the letters here in Decatur then.
You had to turn the letters around
so they'd
be in the right position.
Right. That was part of our job.
So it was at least automated to that extent.
No, it wasn't automated.
But I mean, they went through a cancel.
It went through the cancel machine, but didn't have to cancel by hand.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right. That was the limit of automation at that time.
And then you had other jobs, I presume, as you went on.
Well, I advanced as we went along. I had some in the accounting department, and I went from the accounting department to a foremanship. I was foreman for 9 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm back in the accounting department. So I ended up in the accounting department as chief accountant.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was when I retired.
Mm-hmm. Both of you probably realize the changes that have come about in the post office. What are the striking changes that you know about?
Well, we've had a lot of changes in the Decatur post office. Now, all the mail has to go to Springfield to be canceled. They tell me that they have a big machine over there, a big canceling machine, and they must have a certain volume of mail to afford them to run this machine. Mm-hmm. So all the mail from the small towns, like Decatur and all the small towns around, mm-hmm. has to go to Springfield to be canceled.
All mail addressed to Decatur goes to Springfield
mail,
then?
That's right. Mm-hmm. All the mail is put in the boxes. Indicator is just thrown in the bags and taken to Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's canceled there and brought back the next morning for the clerks here to work the carriers. That's how they get the mail now.
Well, where was the main post office when you were working?
Where was the main post office?
Mm-hmm. Is that the position it is now?
No. Maine and Eldorado. Mm-hmm. YWCA is now.
Oh.
YWCA is now. That's our main post office.
Mm-hmm. Were there substations?
Yes, we have several substations. In fact, I think at one time we had 9 substations in Decatur. Mm-hmm.
Dorothy, what job did your father have?
Well, he carried mail for about 14 years, and then he transferred inside, and he was an outgoing mail clerk at first, mm-hmm. and then he advanced to foreman of the mailing division, and when he finished, he was superintendent of the mails.
Mm-hmm. You mean the main postmaster?
No, superintendent.
What was that? What is that job?
Superintendent of mails.
Well, that was to take care of the clerks underneath his level to tell them when to work and when to come in and when to leave.
Set their schedules.
Set their schedules and such as that. But I can remember way back when they hauled the mail, we had so many trains through here and the interurbans. And buses, at first we didn't have buses, but later they did have buses that hauled the mail too. And they had a horse-drawn wagon that took the mail down to the depot. And he always carried a big revolver on his hip. I don't know if he ever used it.
I don't think he ever did.
But he did have it. But at one time we did have a shooting behind the post office, and a man was killed.
Well, what caused that?
I really don't know, but I was called in on jury duty. I remember that. But they relieved me quickly when they found out that my husband was an employee of the post office.
Well, was this murder related to the post office?
No, I don't think so.
I don't believe it was.
Probably jealousy between somebody, probably that was hauling the mail or something like that. I think that's what
it just was. Happened that it was related or behind the post office.
Yeah, it just happened. That's right.
It wasn't a big mail robbery or anything.
No.
That's
true. I don't think our post office was ever robbed.
No, I don't think so.
When was the main post office, the post office in town built? The present post office.
Well, we moved in there in 1935. Mm-hmm. 1935. That's when it was finished.
And I'm sure it was thought to be a magnificent building then.
Yes.
It still is a good looking building.
It is a nice building, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was real nice. We're very proud of it.
Uh-huh.
Moved in 1935.
Can you think of any other changes or any other points that you remember about the old days there?
I do. I remember some. A lot of people don't know that you have to take an examination to get in there. Mm-hmm.
Civil service exam? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that. Then they used to have to take an examination every year on their work.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to study at home, and he had a case, and all of these cards, over 1,000, that he had to know where to put them.
Well,
were graded on that.
What does this relate to? Names of towns or streets?
No, streets.
No, he worked
streets.
Inside.
In my case, it was names of streets. Then when we had the mail division, and those fellows had to know that all the towns, and what roads they were going to put on, say.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, I had to know the carriers, and know all the carriers, and know who, what block each one of them carried.
Mm-hmm.
That was our examination.
And another thing, they carried all of their mail. They didn't have these little go-karts, or they didn't have the automobiles, and what they couldn't get in their sacks, the mail carriers, they strapped them on, and they carried all of that mail.
All that load. It must have been a very physically difficult job.
It was.
And in all weather?
In all weather. At Christmas time, you could hardly see the carrier.
That was before, that was early when they did all that. Then we got what we call relay boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the carrier would...
What are those?
Well, the carrier would... Casey's mail and at the far end of the route, while he would, or about halfway maybe.
Excuse me, what do you mean by case is mail?
Well, get it ready for delivery, I'll say it that way. See, the carrier has to have his mail so that he can follow right along too, you know.
You mean put it in order?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, put it in order, that's right. Uh-huh. So we had relay boxes on the different routes. Maybe some of them would have two relay boxes, and they would fix up their mail, and the truck would take it out there and deposit this relay box. Then the carrier would work his mail up to that point, then he'd pick up some mail there, and he'd go to another territory, and it'd be another relay box, and he'd work out of that until he got through.
At least it was a relief from carrying all the mail in one load.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And they used to have two deliveries a day.
Two residential
and three for business.
Yeah. And three downtown.
We have become so used to only one delivery, we forget that we used to have a little better service in that respect. But I think few people miss that now. They're used to it.
Yeah, I think they're used to it. That's right.
And at Christmas time, the hours were terrific. He has worked around the clock.
Mm. Well, back when I went into service, the public hadn't been educated yet. And they always waited about a week before Christmas before they mailed their mail, you know. Mm-hmm. And everything was dropped in at the same time. And we just couldn't. We couldn't keep up with it. That's all. We just couldn't. But now, they start mailing early. And they don't have any trouble.
It does show that you can educate the public,
right,
doesn't
right.
it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And one thing at Christmas time, when I first went to service, Christmas Day, we delivered every package that looked like it might contain a Christmas present. No matter the size, a little package, we had trucks go out and deliver that on Christmas Day. That's when we spoiled the public.
That's right. And somebody had to work
on
Christmas
That's
Day
right.
to do that.
I had done that.
We had to give up our family Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah, we could have.
Because we were never sure. And since my father worked in the office.
And your whole family was involved.
Yes, so we just couldn't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the public really doesn't realize some of the sacrifices that go on behind the scenes.
No, they don't. No, the public doesn't realize. No, that's right. No.
Do you think the system has improved enough, or is what else could be done, or what do you think of the improvements that have been made?
Well, I kind of hesitate to say. But I don't think some of the changes have helped any.
In what way?
Well, I don't think this. I'll back up. The service is poor. I realize that. But one of the big things is the transportation. We don't have the transportation we used to have. See, there's no train going to Decatur anymore, mm-hmm. and we don't have the star routes. We don't have the buses.
Well, what's the star route?
Well, that was a motorized thing that. Went from town to town, or
on tracks.
Towns, yeah, no. Automobile.
Automobile.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Automobile. We don't have
trucks.
That's right. Trucks. And.
Well, did they stop that because of economy?
Well,
why did they start?
The trains, the trains were subsidized by the government, and we had what we call railway mail clerks on the train to work the mail.
Yeah.
See, they worked the mail going to different towns, different cities. And they don't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's all done away with. So now they have big sorting machines in towns like Springfield. They call these towns sectional centers. Springfield, Bloomington, Centralia, Champaign, Effingham. Those are sectional centers. And Decatur didn't get the job. They didn't get a sectional center. We should have it, but we didn't get it. But those are sectional centers. And all this mail has to go in there. And from there, it's delivered by, if the train goes through there, everybody's put on a train.
Well,
but otherwise, it's put on what we call the star routes, and then all that truck.
They trucks, do just have some
yeah,
trucks
do, yeah,
still
yeah,
running.
But they run out of these big offices. See?
Mm-hmm.
That's why our mail is delayed some. Mm-hmm. So it'll go to Springfield, and maybe it has to go to Bloomington and around like that before it can get delivered to even Maroa. The town we're all, see.
Well, if we send a letter, say to Chicago, how does it travel to Chicago? I mean, does it go by train, by truck?
There's no train out of here.
I know, well...
It goes to Springfield. It goes to Springfield.
How does it get to Springfield? By truck?
By truck, yeah, by truck. We have two or three, I don't know how many times, but probably three times a day, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe more than that, going to Springfield, mm-hmm. taking the mail accumulated mm-hmm. at the office, goes to Springfield.
Do any trains have mail cars on
No.
them? None at all. So no mail travels
no.
by train?
It's all done.
All truck?
That's right.
Or some by plane?
Yeah, we still have airplane service.
Uh-huh.
But none out of Decatur. We may have some out of Decatur, I'm not positive uh-huh. that. We may have some, but not very much.
I know they stopped using airmail for domestic mail, assuming that some mail did go by plane anyway, whether you had an airmail stamp on it or not.
I didn't get in on those things. Those things happened after I retired, mm-hmm. so I really don't know all about that. But I guess that's true.
But you think that these changes haven't necessarily improved the service?
Well,
I mean the transportation of the mail.
I don't think so. No, I really don't think so. No.
It's helped the worker because they used to work 6 days a week.
That's improved.
And they had to work Sundays and holidays. Mm-hmm. They took the turns. Now, they work only 5 days.
And as we said, their load isn't as great because
they don't have to carry so much.
Or they don't have as long hours, I presume.
No,
they don't.
If I had my way about it, I would improve the carrier situation.
How would you do that?
With all due respect to them, I think that they, I don't think their dress, their attire is appropriate. It's not as nice as it used to be, I'll say it that way.
But it's more comfortable?
Well, it may be, but it doesn't look as nice.
Oh.
It doesn't look as nice. I went in the service, the carriers had to stand inspection.
Oh.
And they looked like mail carriers.
But they still wear a uniform, don't they?
Well, partially. Partially, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But they've gone to shorts, which is all right in the summertime, I guess, but I don't like the looks of it.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the looks of it. They don't have to wear a cap like they used to. They don't have to. Some of them do, but they don't.
Uh-huh.
But back then, they wore the uniform, and they stood inspection.
Uh-huh.
And the shoes were shined, and they mm-hmm. really looked like mail carriers.
Uh-huh.
And they were proud of it.
Yes.
Another thing, they were proud of it.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's one change that I would make if I had. If
you'd shape them up a little bit.
I would try. I'll say that. Yeah.
And of course, what about women in this force?
Well, there wasn't very many there before I retired, but we had a few. And if they can do the work, why, I'm for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have some pretty good lady carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the rural carriers are ladies now. Well, the ones
who drive
the rural road. Most of them are ladies now.
Uh-huh. Do they have to pass a test to be a carrier?
Oh, yes.
That is, I know you said they had to know the names of streets and so on, but I was thinking about size or physical ability.
Yes, they have to be physically fit mm-hmm. to get the job too, you know. But they have to pass examination, and they get on what they call the carrier or clerk list, and then they're pointed off that.
The carrier clerk list.
Mm-hmm.
But they had penmanship and English and arithmetic. And
I took the exam.
All the exams.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you think the exam is easier now?
No, I don't believe it is. Probably more difficult.
Because they have, it's probably, you think it'd be more mechanized, more ability to understand the use of the mechanized machinery.
We had more college educated people in the service now uh-huh. than they used to have.
Do you think that the post office is, it does have monopoly over first class mail, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
But about the packages and freight?
United Parcel.
Yes,
all the partial postage anymore. We lost that.
Uh-huh.
We don't have too much of that anymore.
Uh-huh.
Our rates went up quite a bit, and
that caused the change.
Yeah.
Let private companies come
yes.
in.
Right.
Well, George and Dorothy, you must have lived through the Great Depression of the 1930s.
We did.
And What was it like?
Well, it wasn't really too bad for us because we had a job.
Mm-hmm.
We had a steady job all through the Depression. But people in our neighborhood lost their jobs and lost their homes. We were about the only ones on our street that kept our home
mm-hmm.
during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
We had some payless furloughs. We had to take a little cut once in a while, but we always had a job the whole time. Mm-hmm. No one got laid off.
When you had a payless furlough, that means a vacation without pay?
Yeah, time off.
Time off without pay.
Our substitutes had a pretty hard time because there wasn't enough work for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One substitute clerk I'm thinking about only got 16 hours work a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he got 16 hours on one day. He worked two shifts mm-hmm. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That was his 16 hours, two 8-hour shifts.
And could a person live on that?
Well, not too good,
mm-hmm.
but that's all the work that they got.
What's the difference between that Depression and the time where people are going through today?
Now they've got, for one thing, they've got the, what do you call it?
Workers' compensation.
Unemployment compensation. And I understand that lasts for 6 months now, mm-hmm. and maybe they can have it renewed. But then, if you didn't have a job, you didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anything, see?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the big difference right there now.
Did you have, you had a child, didn't you?
One.
One.
Mm-hmm. One little girl.
It was a little hard to bring up a family then?
Yes.
Well, of course, you said you didn't suffer because
you
had
a
job.
Yeah, that's right. She was born in 27,
mm-hmm.
28. She was born in 28, and the Depression hit along about 30, mm-hmm. 30, 31.
And we owed more on our house
than
we could sell it for or rent it.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't rent it for the payments. And we did have to miss payments. We had our pay was cut, and the pay wasn't too good either in those days.
But at least you kept
your
house.
But at least we had a job, and we did keep our house.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, when you say the pay wasn't good, prices weren't high either.
That's right.
That's another difference, isn't it?
That's right.
Can you recall any illustrations of the prices at that time?
A loaf of bread, 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
How about a gallon of milk, honey?
I don't remember about the gallon of milk, but I remember butter was high. And bacon.
Did they have oleo then?
They did have.
Mm-hmm.
When you had a little pill with your oleo and you had to do your own mixing.
That was because of the butter people who didn't want oleo to look like butter.
I think that was it, wasn't it?
Yes, you didn't have to color it if you didn't want uh-huh. to, but it made it look
better. It looked
better.
Like butter, that's right.
But today,
more tasty, yeah.
Your oleo is manufactured into your squares
mm-hmm.
and cubes and
like butter.
Butter, mm-hmm. like a pound of butter.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't that way in those
mm-hmm.
days.
So even though times were hard and people, but anyone who had a job could manage to get by because
That's
of
right.
the lower
mm-hmm.
prices.
That's right. But many of them had to move in with their parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of the young people had to move out of their homes and rent them.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you had no job at all, you just didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have anything coming in. It wasn't like it is now. So that's where it was.
What about the war? Did you work through the times of the war?
Yeah. Yes.
You were in the post office.
Yes,
all that
that's
time.
Right. That's uh-huh. right. I was in the post office from 1925 till mm-hmm. 1971.
Uh huh.
I didn't.
So
have,
that
yeah.
took in that time
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And.
But I was too old. See, I was too young for one and too old for the other.
Well,
so I missed the service.
I'm sure Dorothy thinks that was fortunate.
Yeah, I missed the service.
Well, what do you feel about Decatur? Do you, as you look back over the time you've lived here, what about it? Changes
well,
and
well,
so on?
Well, we've seen a lot of changes.
Our first little home Everything north of that was country.
And that was where?
On West Harper, West in Harper. The 700 block West Harper.
Uh-huh.
And that was how many blocks north? 2100?
2200?
2200 north. About 2200
uh-huh.
north then.
Yes.
And 7 west.
So
everything north of that then was country.
Uh-huh.
See? And here now we
so
are. We're up to 3100 here now. We live 3100 and we go.
You're still in the
go
city.
Way up there, you know. Mm. That's one big difference.
Uh-huh.
And my husband had to work nights. Uh-huh. And just beyond us, one block, they had horses and cows. And they would get out occasionally. And one night I heard an awful noise and I was afraid. I went to the window and looked out. I saw something dark. And so I turned the lights out, looked out. It was a cow in our front yard.
Eating
our grass.
That was a burger.
Another time a pony got loose and was in our yard and uh-huh. eating the grass. And all north of us was country.
Uh-huh. So it really was not exactly like city life at that time.
Well, not really. We had a modern home, though. We were on the, well, at first we had a cesspool, but
yes.
later the sewer.
Sewer and electricity and all the services.
We had those.
And we had better bus service than we have now. Uh-huh. I would say yes. Because I rode that bus quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
We had night buses. I would work till my hours were for 13 consecutive years. I worked from 1 in the afternoon until 9:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ride the bus home after 9:30,
mm-hmm.
and then I would ride the bus home. Now we have no night buses.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you work those kind of hours, now you didn't have a car, you had to walk home.
Uh-huh.
So that was one big
change. So that is a change.
One big change.
Uh-huh.
We had Sunday buses then, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that has changed.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's for the better myself.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why we can't have bus service any better than it is, but we don't have.
Uh-huh.
People use their cars now instead
yeah.
of riding
yeah.
the bus. It's uh-huh. more convenient.
But,
mm-hmm.
We should have Sunday. It seems to me we ought to have Sunday buses because people mm-hmm. can't go to church. People
no.
don't have a car. They can't go to church because there's no ride for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think of the future, about the future of Decatur? Are you...
How about the future of the country?
Yes.
Well, the city's growing in population, people,
but
not in industry.
Mm-hmm.
We've been hurt by the mall, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Point Mall, and all these stores have moved out.
Mm-hmm.
They say 7 to 9 years of the life of them. Well, some of them have been out there 7 years, and whether they'll ever come back to the city or not, we don't know that, of
mm-hmm.
course. I doubt it. I just doubt it. So mm-hmm. our city is hurting because of mm-hmm. that.
Like many other cities.
That's right. Uh-huh.
We're not the only one,
no,
because
no.
In New York City, they kept moving out and moving out and moving out. And you'll see in the big cities an old portion and then a newer portion and an older portion and a newer portion where they've grown and
mm-hmm.
grown out.
Mm-hmm. But you think that Decatur will continue. There will be a Decatur.
It'll be
well.
people without services.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll find some way to provide services when people really need them. If we become too dependent upon gasoline or oil, people will have to find other ways of getting along, won't they?
We used to have the corner grocery stores,
yes.
which we don't have now.
No. It's true that we have seen many changes, haven't we?
We keep increasing our restaurants. Places to eat,
mm-hmm.
and how they can all keep going, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but they do. We just opened up one over here on Main Street
uh-huh.
just recently, you know.
Because women are working and they don't want to cook so much at home.
I wonder, is that the big reason? I don't know.
Well, we certainly appreciate your telling us some of your experiences. And we've covered a lot of territory, haven't we? A lot of
yes,
time.
Yes, we have.
So it's interesting to see the changes that have come about from the time that you were born here in Decatur and the time George came and up to the present time. You really have had a good life, haven't you?
Oh,
yes.
Yes, better than most.
Yes, we have. We really have.
We're more fortunate.
More fortunate. Our,
we had one daughter, and she's a lovely person, and we've never had any trouble with her.
Grandchildren.
We have two granddaughters and three great-grandsons.
Uh-huh. And they're both happily married.
Look good. So you really have had a good life.
Yeah, we have.
And we're very glad that you shared it with us. And thank you very much.
All right.
You've been listening to the reminiscences of Mr. and Mrs. George Hall, George and Dorothy Hall. And this has been Betty Trunell for the Decatur Public Library.